Troll.
Afternoon, evening. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Okay. Some got naps, some did not get naps, and some will get a nap. So, amen. It's good to see you. And, looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Just real quick announcements. Do remember all our services. Hope you'll be back with us on Wednesday. And just looking for a good time there. So hope you remember that. Be inviting folks. We're still working on trying to figure out how to do a homecoming. Hadn't thrown that one to the side completely yet, but we're trying to figure that out, the best way to do that. So we'll keep that going as we can. But again, Lord knows we're praying. Just let Him lead and guide. But all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to singing. Father, we love You. We are thankful, God, for another opportunity. God, just to be in this place, Lord. God, what a place this is. Lord, it's not about the building. It's not about the pews or nothing of that nature, God. It's just good to be around Your people. And God, we want to worship You tonight, God. We want to lift You up, God. And Lord, we just want to see You have liberty in this place, Lord. And God, open our hearts, God, to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to us, lead us, and guide us, Lord. And Lord, we ask it all in Your precious name. Amen. He's like, where'd you go? All right. Anyway, let's all stand up. Turn to number 113. Number 113. One of my favorites is a... My wife always laughs because I say, that's my favorite song. And then I'll say, that's my favorite song. That's my favorite song. I have many favorites. So this is one of my favorites. So we'll sing all the way through all three verses. Blessed assurance. Here we go. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. All right. Remain standing. Turn over to 152. We're just going to sing a couple verses. This one, first and the last. Now, most of you know this, because just in case there's anybody here that doesn't, when we get to the chorus, everybody grab your Bible, hold the fort for I'm coming, Jesus signals still, wave the answer back to heaven. I want to see those Bibles. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. So anyway, let's sing the first and last. So here we go. Let's sing it out. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fierce and long the battle rages, but a help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
see you.
Okay. Amen. Boy, that's our story. I hope we stick to it, amen, as they say. So, amen. Before Miss Karen comes and sings, again, do remember there's many, many prayer needs, a lot of things to pray about, a lot of things we're just asking for to help lead us, guide us, and give direction there. Again, remember the lost, remember church, our missionaries, of course, a lot of sickness. Do remember Brother Rick, Miss Pat, Brother Parks and Miss LaMonda, Brother Hunting and Miss Hunting there. And then Brother Poplin, they did keep him tonight. He hasn't got rid of the kidney stone the last time I talked to Miss Teresa, so do continue to pray for them. So, amen. All right, Miss Karen, wherever she went. There she is.
All the problems themselves seem to be. Can we remember what Jesus said? Bring your burdens and come to me. Hear Jesus calling, come unto me. Come and I'll give you rest. Burden, I'll set you free. Bring your burdens and come to me. Down in the valley through darkest night, turn to Jesus, for he is your light. Look round about you and you will see he's the lily of your valley. Hear Jesus calling, come unto me. Come and I'll give you rest. Bring every burden, I'll set you free. Bring your burdens and come to me. Earnest call, though so wondrous, I know it is true. He knows each sparrow and sees them fall, and I'm surely he'll care for you. Hear Jesus calling, come unto me. Come and I'll give you rest. I'll set you free. Bring your burdens and come to me.
And he's still a calling, amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Well, someday you just can't make up. We come here last Sunday night, pulled up in the parking lot out there, and I got here a little early, not getting in a hurry to come in here. I got out and just I looked down that way down there, where the, I guess, playground is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Kids with me down there, a building down there. I look down there and there's a shadow at that time when I pulled up. There was a shadow on that building that was the image of what I never saw Jesus in person, but knowing what he looked like by some artist painting his picture a long time ago, what we know him to look like, our pictures in the past. But I looked down there and I saw a shadow, and it looked like a picture of Jesus' face on that building down there.
Hmm.
And the sun was shining in that direction over there. However far it is in the sky. Now I just kept looking at that building down there. And I said, man, this is, you can't make this up. And then I looked at it for a while, and my wife was sitting in the car. I said, honey, look at this. And by the time I told her that, and her getting turned around, it just kind of faded away.
Hmm.
And I told her, I said, man, you can't make that up. And I got to thinking, you know, that's all I saw was just an image of something that was in between the light in that building that was being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what was in the building, what was in the middle of that building and the sun up there was this building right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the prayer room last Sunday night. And I don't know how many different men, but whatever they would give a prayer request, so they go around everybody giving a prayer request or something, how they do it. And but a lot of the men said, you know, Jesus is in this place.
Mm.
And all that Sunday night, man, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But when the sun was shining out through here, Jesus was here, and his shadow shining down there on that hill.
Mm.
And but you know, you just we're looking for a place. My name may not be on the roll here, but it's in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Amen. That's what matters.
And I've been at several different places looking, trying to find God's will where He wants us to go right now, in a place of looking.
Sure.
And I'm talking Baptist churches. You don't know, you don't know how many Baptist churches out there. Jesus is nowhere. The owner of that house is nowhere to be found.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't know how many Baptist churches are out there. I go in there, I've asked them several different places. Where's the prayer room at? What's that? They don't even know what the prayer room is.
Sure.
The owner tells me my house should be called a house of prayer. First and foremost, before anything.
Yep.
And you don't even know what a prayer room is?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just had to get
out. Amen.
Yeah. Say, here, boss, I stood up. Yeah. I'm sorry, Lord, I should have stood up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't want to stand up. I've hardly ever seen anybody here stand up and testify. I'm like, well, I was all
that's all right.
I just got to do what God wants
to do. Exactly. Amen.
I can't follow after people.
Right.
But y'all just pray for us. I thank God that I'm here tonight.
Amen.
Thank God for that message I heard this morning.
Amen.
And but I just thank God I'm here.
Amen, brother. Amen. I can tell you now, if God isn't here, we might as well turn the lights off and go to the house. That's all I know. And that's the only reason I'm here, is I want to see Him. And the Bible says, He be lifted up. He draw all men unto Him. That's what we need to do. We need to lift Him up. Not man, not religion. We need to lift Him up. And amen. I was thinking, brother, you know, sometimes God just gives you. Nobody else might not see, because I think of some things in my life that God just did for me. Nobody else would ever know. Most people would never even believe. But God did it just for me. That's just amazing. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Right. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. 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 Sure he is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. He never gets tired of hearing that. Amen. Never. Amen. Anybody else? Don't hold back. Amen. Go ahead, Miss Rhonda. Bless you. Sure. Amen. Amen. That's called flesh. Amen. Amen.
Let him help me.
Sure.
I'm just so glad that I came today.
Amen.
Because I need to hear that song.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He knows what we need. Amen. Anybody else? I don't want to pump and pry, but listen. If it's on your heart, don't hold it in. You might help somebody else.
Then the next year comes the next year. But this year I turned 70. But I can feel the difference. Now I can look at my breast cancer. And that's what I couldn't do. But I didn't know I can run still, but I won yesterday. So good to us.
Sure. That made me think. I read a quote this afternoon. It says, "Waiting on the Lord is not a waste of time." And I thought, hallelujah, amen, amen. Anybody else? Up on your heart? Amen. Everybody good? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God for all this time in my life.
Sure.
I can never thank Him enough.
Mm-mm. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Anybody else?
Preacher.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank God. Saving me.
Amen.
He came to me when I was probably at the lowest point that a man could ever get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was an alcoholic, losing everything. And I went to Rowan and got an alcohol recovery. God just took my heart.
Amen.
And I just had to give all the praise.
Sure.
All those things that I have lost, all those things that were gone, you know, those precious things, you need to give it back.
Amen. Sure. Amen. 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 Sure. Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. It's all Him. It's all Him. It's all about Him. Amen. Anybody else got something? All right. Going once. Going twice. All right. Take your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14. You don't know what I'm preaching, but I do. And you don't know how much this really falls right into place with what we're looking at. So God's always on time. Always hits it out of the park. I don't, but He does. I'd rather get up and swing and miss than not swing at all. Sure would. Amen. Luke chapter 14 this evening. Luke chapter 14. you found your place, and you can and you would, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to this Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
Luke chapter 14. Let's begin reading in verse number 12 this evening. Luke 14, 12. Verse 12 says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed." Take the message there, but there's a lot of truth right there. Who are we going after? Verse 14, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Who would ever buy something sight unseen? Right? Pretty good excuse, though, isn't it? And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife. And all the men said, Amen. And I married a wife. Sorry, ladies. Bad, bad. And another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Poor fella. He must be a little henpecked or something. So the servant came, verse 21, and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Praise the Lord, there's always room. Verse 23, And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again. Lord, we thank you for the testimony tonight, God. Lord, it's always good to hear people bragging on you. God, there's so many times we get caught off guard, Lord. People talk about politics and other things that are just really useless. But I'm glad to hear people talking about you. God, give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just have liberty tonight as we try our best, God, again, to preach this message you've laid upon our hearts. God, you know every need here this evening, from the biggest to the littlest. God, I just pray, Lord, you'll speak, and Lord, we'll be obedient, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. And again, here the Lord gives us a great picture. And he's dealing with that nation of Israel, and he tells them again that there's been a calling. You know, there was people bidden to come to the feast. The master had prepared. The master put things in place. And nobody showed up. Well, that's pretty sad, isn't it? People work and work and work. And I got to thinking, you know, when I was at our home church, you know, Harmony's not that big of a place, but I don't know how many doors we knocked on. But me and Brother Michael Barnett, we set out to knock on every door in the city of Harmony. And we did it. It took us a few Saturdays, but we knocked on every door in Harmony. And you know, not one person ever came. Well, preacher, that was a waste of your time. Nope. Because God is faithful. And there was people showed up that I have no idea where they've come off. We had a guy show up that he was an airline. He flew mail to Alaska. He just happened to drop in at Harmony Friendship Baptist Church. We had another guy. He was here on holiday. Was it from Ireland? From Ireland. He was riding bicycle. Why he was in Harmony, North Carolina? I have no idea. But God brought him right by our way. And he stopped on in. God's faithful. And again, people work and do. And I'm sure there's Sunday school teachers. And there's others in here that you've labored. You've really put yourself into trying to see God do something. You think, what a waste. Nothing happened. How do you know nothing happened? God works. You might not see it, but God's doing something. All we need to do is just keep working, keep being faithful, and let Him worry about the rest. I can't get people to come to church. I can't make somebody get saved. I wish I could, but I can't. But here the Lord's talking about a great feast, and nobody would come. And the Bible tells us that He was angry. I wonder how many times our God is angry because people will not listen. I wonder how many times God's angry because we don't listen. But here we find that the master was angry. So he calls his servant and he tells his servant, you know, that first bunch that he invited, those were those ones at the very beginning we talked about, the ones that had some money, the ones of prestige. And the Lord says, well, if they won't come, tells the servant to go out and get those that are the unwanted, the unliked, the ones that nobody ever invites to supper. And the servant went out and he did exactly that. He said, it's done, Lord. God's not done with us yet. One of these days, I too can say, it's done, Lord. This old life is going to be over. That servant came in and said, it's done. There's nothing better than doing and finishing what God set you out to do. And then the Lord looked around and he said, there's still room. Go back out and bring in more. See tonight, friend, aren't you glad that there's still room? Oh, I would love to see our building full. But I don't want to see our building full with the world. I want to see our building full with people that's desiring God and wanting to see God work in their lives. But there's always going to be room. I don't care if all of Salisbury, wouldn't it be good if all of Salisbury would get saved? Well, can you imagine what would change in our area? Wouldn't it be good if America would get saved? Can you imagine the changes that would come to our country? But you know what? Every one of you probably thought the same thing as I said that. That'll never happen. Why couldn't it happen? Is God's hands too short that He cannot save? Surely not. Well, preacher, this bunch here, they're just terrible, wicked people. That's the kind God likes. Let me ask you something. Did God save you? Well, preacher, I wasn't that bad. You're just as bad as a drunk down the road. You were lost and on your way to hell. Same thing to those folks. God saved you. God saved me. Why wouldn't God save them? So, what I want to look at this evening, look with me down in verse number 23. God here again gives, again, this is a parable, but it's a parable to help us see truth. And as we look at this, we ought to be that servant. We should have that servant's heart. The master told the servant, go. And that's how it should be what we want to do. When God speaks and when God drives and shows us something, we ought to be, yes, sir, I'm going to take good care of that. I'll do it right now. And that servant is a great picture of what you and I ought to be. So look at me here again, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And the word I want to look at, and it'll just take us a minute to get there, is that word compel. Compel. Do you remember what compels you? to come to Christ? I do. Wouldn't it be good today if people could be compelled? I believe that's one of the failures of the church in these days is we've made religion, and I'm not a religious person because I know what religion does. But a lot of people have got a bad taste of religion. They got bad taste of people that say they love God and act a different way. Those things have turned them off. You ain't gonna believe this, but I like to eat. I don't have many hobbies, but I'm pretty good at that one. I don't like to eat as much as I used to since I had COVID, but I used to like to really eat. I've heard stories about Brother Melvin could eat about 100 hot dogs and 10 hamburgers. And if you've never heard him talk about how he used to eat, he used to eat. I never really saw it, but I've heard the stories. A man that can go to a restaurant and they ask you to leave because you're eating too much. You can eat. But what is the picture God is showing here? We're talking about supper, aren't we? We're talking about eating. And boy, I'm telling you, when my grandma was alive, I knew what 11:30 meant every day. Homemade cooking. Amen. She made a cake or a pie every day because my grandpa had a sweet tooth that run all the way down to his toes. Homemade biscuits every day. Every day. I miss those days. Not that my wife can't cook, but there's just something about Granny's food that just... But let me ask you something. Again, we all like to eat. Everybody in here has probably got your own type of food that you might like or whatever. I mean, we were going to go out to eat for our anniversary, go out to supper, just me and my wife, Thursday. And there's a steak place that we really like. We don't go there much. There's a steak place. It's called Line Burgers. It's up on the other side of Mooresville. Wonderful steak. Best prime rib that I've eaten in a long time. But me and her decided we didn't want to waste that money because we weren't sure how good it would taste with us still not having our taste the way we were. So we went out for pizza. You can't go wrong with pizza. So. That's a big change from pizza to steak, ain't there? Steak to pizza.
Taste buds bad.
And Line Burgers is, man, I'm telling you, they got great steaks. And then they've got a salad bar. I'm telling you, I'd go just for the salad. I mean, they got this thing, it's one of my favorite things on the salad bar, pickled watermelon rind. Woo, I love that stuff. It's good. And then they got, I'm getting ready to have a good warm steak. But on the salad bar, they got this salad made up that's got steak inside of it. And so, man, I get double helpings of cow. Man, it's great. You know what? You know what makes me want to just go over there? Because I know how good it is. As God says, taste and see. But you know what? If I went over there, you ever had your mouth just watering? Just you got such a you're just ready to taste it. I mean, it's just you've been thinking about it, and you're just. You're ready to go, and you can smell it cooking, and oh man, you got anticipation to eat that steak. So you get your plate, and you go to that, boy, what a salad bar. Good salad bar. And you go up there, and you're excited, and I get over there, the pickled watermelon rind, and there's a cockroach. Now that didn't happen. Line Burgers, I didn't say that happened. Did not happen. You ought to give me a free meal because I'm advertising. Yeah, exactly. Man, how quick would all that anticipation, all that thought, all that just, I can't wait. Instantly, you wouldn't want to eat there, would you? You probably wouldn't ever go back. Because all you could ever think about is that cockroach running through the salad bar. It's just extra protein. What are you saying, preacher? The Lord's talking about us inviting people to church. More than church. I do want people to come to church. I think we got the best church around. That's just my opinion. I mean, as they say, if you can't croak in your own pond, you ain't much of a frog. But you know, now I have been taught to, if somebody puts something, gives me something, I will graciously try it or take it. Not that I might like it, but I will try it. But if I invited you over to my, hey, Brother Rick, now you might like this stuff. Get Miss Judy to come over to the house. We want to come eat supper. I don't tell you what we're going to have. And you show up and we're having chitlins. Rick says, I'll eat them. Or liver. I'm not eating a filter. You might like liver, but you can help yourself. You can eat my part too. What do you, but think about what I'm trying to get you to see. I worked with a guy. Trust me, we're going to get into this in a minute. Don't. I worked with a guy at Freightliner. This is, what's that old guy say? This is truth with my hand up or whatever. That, whoever the singer guy was, I don't remember what his name was. This is not a preacher's story. This is the truth. There's a guy I worked with at Freightliner. They had a big family reunion every year. And he said his grandma would make chitlins. And he said, if you didn't get in the front of the line, you didn't get no chitlins. Now, this is what he told me. He said, so I figured the thing out. He said, while everybody was talking and carrying on, I walked up there. I had a can of corn in my pocket. He said, I'd go up there and sprinkle some corn out around them chitlins. You think, why? So people would think they wasn't cleaned out real good. Nobody knew but him. He said, I got chitlins every time after that. But the Lord here is telling us a great truth. And we're getting there. When we went to Peru, we've been warned they eat guinea pigs. And they do. And the whole time I was thinking, Lord, please don't let them put a guinea pig in front of me. Please don't do that. Please, 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 please don't. As far as I know, we didn't. As far as I know. No. But again, the Lord is showing a great truth here. As much as I tried to build up that steak, and man, they're good. That prime rib, you can take your fork. You don't need a knife. You can take your fork and just push on it. And that thing will just cut right on through. It's so tender, I don't even have to borrow my wife's teeth. I mean, just... And it's good, though. I didn't get a nap, and I'm feeling pretty good. How about that? Though I know when I go what to anticipate. Because somebody invited us up there for the first time. I'd never been there one time, you know. And once we were, I don't even know who took us there for the first time. That's been a long time ago. But after I went one time, I said, man, that's good. I want to go back. You ever been to somewhere and you went in and you had a meal and you're thinking, that wasn't too good. I ain't coming back. Probably all experienced that sometime in our life. Preacher, why do you keep talking about this? Because that's what God used for a picture for you and I to understand about asking people to come to church or come to Christ. Yes. The word that I want us to look at is found there in verse number 23, and it's that word compel. compel? How do we compel people? By talking about how bad our church is? Talking down about the preacher or talking about one of our brothers or sisters? Or that surely wouldn't compel nobody, would it? Oh, but if I can brag on an old steak that come out of an old cow, surely I could brag on what Jesus is doing. See, that's where we're missing it. We need to get excited about what we're serving. And the Lord uses that. Look here again. The Bible tells that servant here in verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Tonight, what compels us to Christ? Before we get there, I want to draw our mind to the truth again here. The first thing I want to look at, look in verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly. See, we need to understand that we're not doing this to build Gospel Light Baptist Church up. God has told that servant to go out quickly and invite these people to come in. And tonight we need to understand that God has told you and I the same thing, that we need to go out, and it ought to be quickly. Listen, time's running short. Days are getting shorter by the minute. The Lord's coming at any time. People are dying every day. And we need to have an urgency to go tell somebody what Jesus done for me. She says, go out quickly. We have to go find them. Listen, that servant had to get out of the house. That servant had to go out where they were. Same for us. As I say before, I have caught a few fish when they jumped in the boat, but that's just a few. I've caught more fish off a hook than I ever caught a fish out of the boat. Same thing spiritually. Every once in a while, somebody shows up. And I'm telling you, the world is full of people that need to come to the Lord. And God tells us that we need to go find them. We need to go quickly. There needs to be an urgency. But then the second thing, he tells us to go. But I find it very interesting who he tells us to go get. Did you see that? Look there again. Verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, notice, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Well, that don't sound like a very good crowd, does it? That's what I was. I was poor. Preacher, y'all didn't have money. Oh, yeah, I had money. But I was poor because I was lost and on my way to hell. I didn't have what I needed. He says, go get the poor. That word maimed, I looked that word up, and it's a very interesting word. It means to be mutilated, imperfect, but not by your choosing. What do you mean, preacher? You ever, fellas, I don't know if anybody here's got one, but I know guys that's cut their finger off using a saw. That's the word maimed. They used to have 10 fingers, but after they got in the fight with the chainsaw, now they got 9. They lost something. They were maimed. Oh, that's what I was. I had self-inflicting wounds called sin. He says, go find those maimed ones. Go find those poor ones. Go find the ones that are halt, means crippled. You remember through the New Testament, we find the Lord many times going to a deaf or a dumb man or somebody with palsy or leprosy. The Lord went to those people. And then the blind. Do you remember when you were blind? What do you mean? I've never been blind. I was blind before I saw the Lord. God opened these eyes that I could see. See, there's plenty of people out here that we work with, people that we call friends, people that we associate with in a daily way. And they don't know God, and they're not saved, and they're blind because they've never seen the Lord. Have you showed them? So notice that he tells us to go out quickly, and he tells us who to go get, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. That's who God's looking for. You know how I know? Because he made that statement there. He says, he didn't come to only the sick. I can't quote that verse verbatim. I didn't write it down. But only the sick need a physician. Just like that first crowd that he mentioned that didn't show up. See, there's a lot of that crowd around our day. Anybody that ever does much witness, and you'll hear this term, I'm good. And then I always, in my sarcasticness, that's the reason I don't compel people really well. I'll say, well, the Bible says there's none good. None, not one. They usually don't like that, but it's true. Maybe it's the way I say it. I don't know. But that's who God's wanting us to go find. You mean we have to go down to the slums and get people? No, that's not what he's talking about. There's rich people that need the Jesus. They're poor. They don't have what they need. They're halt. They're maimed. They're blind. But I have learned this over the years, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I have learned that the people that are not up in the mansions of society sure receive the gospel a whole lot better than those. Amen. Why? Because the rich, they got money. They don't need God. They have power. They don't need God. Now again, they need saving. Some are saved. I'm saying this again. The Lord said about that camel going through the eye of a needle. Sort of that truth there. So he tells us to go out and do it quickly and find these people, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And then he tells us where they're at. You know, up where I live, most of the people that I know, they'll kill a deer. And I'll say, where'd you kill it at? In the woods. They don't want you to know where they killed it at. Where'd you catch all them fish at? Out of the water. They don't want you to know where their fishing hole is. Why? Because then you'll show up there. So, God tells us to go. He tells us who to look for. But he also tells us where to find them. Where are they at? The Bible says here. In the highways and the hedges. They're everywhere. They're on in the hedges. There's some of them hiding out there somewhere. But you can find them. They're everywhere. I read a story one time about a Confederate soldier. And he come walking into the camp all by himself, and he had like a dozen Yankee prisoners. And some of the guys says, where'd you get them at? He says, oh, it's nothing. The woods are full of them. Have you been looking for any of these people? Have you been looking for a blind person? Not physically. Have you been looking for the poor and the needy? Those maimed and those halt, they're everywhere. You can even do the cardinal sin and go to Walmart. That place is full of them. They're everywhere. The Lord told us this, go into where? All the world. I'm not saying this to hurt nobody's feelings. I really ain't. And I know I know exactly what some of you are thinking when I say this. You know, one of these days, if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. And you're going to stand before the Lord one day. Wouldn't it be sad to stand before God, the one that loved us so much and died for us, the one that loves us so much that ever liveth for us, and you're going to come in empty-handed? I'm 52. I'm 52 years old. Been saved since I was 13, so that's however much that is. I got brain. I used to know numbers, but now I can't even remember the name. But 40 years, some years, I guess. Don't you think I would have taught something by now? Don't you think I'd have told somebody about the Lord and they'd have got saved? See, we've all been given time. But if you don't invite them, if you're not out looking for them, how will you ever tell somebody? Right? Y'all got real quiet after that one. Y'all want to start talking about steak again? Y'all want to talk about steak? Y'all seem to get more excited about steak and salad than you. No, but that's what God's showing us here. Then he tells them there that, again, they're out on the highways and hedges. But then he tells us, okay, he tells us who they are. He tells us where they are. He also tells us how to go get them. He says, go and compel them. That word compel means to actively press. Now listen, wouldn't it be good if God said, break their legs and drag them in? It'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? I'm pretty sure I could get a lot more if I come to church if God said, hey, just break their legs and drag them in. That's not what he said. He told me to compel them. I compelled you to think about a steak and a salad bar because I made it sound really, really good. Because it is really, really good. And that is the same thing that God desires out of me and us when we deal with the halt, the maimed, the poor, the blind. We need to actively press them. Don't take no for an answer. Well, preacher, they're going to get mad. They get mad anyway. Brother Rick, I don't know how many times we'll put a high percentage, probably at least 70-75% of times when Brother Rick preaches, I always hear the same thing. A guy by the name of Ernie Bartlett. You know why Brother Rick mentions that? That's what compelled him. Brother Ernie Bartlett went to that house numerous times trying to get Rick Hildebrand to see Jesus. Well, he didn't want it, so I ain't going to go back. That's not what the attitude Ernie Bartlett had. Why? Because he was trying his best to compel, press, actively telling and showing. So, I got about four things real quickly that I feel like is a good way to compel. The first thing is we talk to people, I think, and you can't sidestep this. You know, everybody, I get tickled. I know the brother back there mentioned finding churches, and that's not an easy task, brother. I know some of them churches. I've been in some of those churches. I've actually preached in some of those churches. You know, a lot of people will call and say, we're looking for a church. What you got to offer? You know what they're asking? What do you do for your young people? You take them on trips and do all this other things. And there's nothing wrong. We try, you know, I think we ought to have some fun. But as I've said all the time, we're never going to do that before we do something for the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that side of things. I enjoy the fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful. But that's not what I should compel somebody to come. And many churches will never tell you the very first thing that I believe is a good tactic to compel people. The first thing we need to tell them is there's a penalty. They're sinners. Nobody wants to talk about being sinners. Nobody wants to be told they're a sinner. But what's going to compel? Listen, when I was sick with COVID, I don't tell my wife a lot of things because if I tell her something, then I have to deal with it. So it's better that she don't know everything so I can just avoid some of that stuff. She knows it's the truth. Was it Saturday night? Sunday morning? Whatever it was. I think it was Saturday night. I told my wife, I need to go to the hospital. And she'll tell you, she knew it was bad because I said, I need to go to the hospital. See, I was to the place where I realized that my health was not good and I needed some help. And see, we can't get anybody to get saved, and I can't save anybody, you can't save anybody. But you'll never see anybody get saved until they realize they're lost. See, we need to compel them, letting them know that this is where you're at. You were born a sinner. It's not about what you do or don't do. You have the blood of the first Adam in you. That sin has been passed down to every man. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to let people understand that there is a penalty. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I bet if your doctor told you you were going to die, you would perk up, wouldn't you? What can I do, doctor? What can I do? What can I do? The doctor might tell you it's too late. There's nothing you can do. But I'm glad God don't do that. Listen, we got to compel them. The first way we need to compel them is showing them there is a penalty to sin. The second thing this evening we need to compel them is His passion. You know, most people today think God is against them. They realize how wicked they are. They realize maybe that they've done so many things so wrong. And I've heard it, 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 and I'll hear it more. Well, God would not love me. God would not save me. See, that's not the truth. But I can compel somebody when they know that they're lost. I can compel them because of the love of Christ. I've experienced that love. If you're saved, you've experienced that love. You can tell them, you can show them, hey, friend, I know what you're talking about. Hey, I used to be the same way, but the Lord loves me and He loves you, and the Lord died for me and He died for you. See, we need to compel them with the love of Christ and His passion. See, Christ loves sinners. Christ loves the blind, the halt, the maimed, the poor. The world don't love them, but God does. So we can compel them by the penalty of what sin is, but we can also never leave anybody there. Why would you take somebody down that road to say, you're going to die and go to hell, without telling them they don't have to? Tell them there's a hope. There's some help. And His name is Jesus. So we need to compel them. The penalty of sin, the passion of Christ, that love, mercy, grace. Compel them with His provisions. Hadn't God been good to you? He's always good to me. Sometimes I sit back and think, God, why are you so good to me? Preacher, you got $1 million? Oh, I got more than $1 million. I got Jesus. Amen. He knows my every need. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's always there. He talks with me. He walks with me. His provisions. What's God done for you? That's how you tell people. That's what compels. Because those people were just like you. And they need to hear about God's love. His provision. And then last of all this evening, how do we compel them? His promises. To tell a man he's going to die and go to hell, don't run over too well. But to tell him that a man died for their sins and that they can go to heaven, that sounds pretty good to me. His promises. See, we, and again, I'm not a vac- and I'll tell people this. I've walked away from people before because I could tell they didn't want what we were. Again, I'm not selling anything, but what we were offering. You remember, was it Peter and John came up to the temple that day to pray? Was it Peter and John? Peter and somebody, I think. And that man sitting there begging, they looked at him and walked over there. And you know what that man thought? Oh, these boys are going to give me some money, because that's what he thought he needed. And what did they say to him? Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, giveth thee. What you got? What have we got that somebody would want? See, that's how we need to live our lives. We need to understand that we... Listen, it shouldn't be hard to brag on Jesus. It shouldn't be hard to tell people what God's done for you. That ought to be the most exciting thing that you could ever talk about. But we don't ever talk about it. See, the Lord's talking about a supper. Go out into the highways and hedges and tell them you're having liver. I don't want liver. But what if we went out there and told them, we got a God that's alive. He hears, He sees, He touches, and He can save you. Best day of my life. I just want you to think for a moment. Is your life a witness in front of people in such a way that they're compelled to have what you want, to have what you've got? I'll close with this, and it just come back through my mind. I worked at a place when I first came out of college called Jet Corps. It was a terrible place to work. It really was. Terrible. I always said I knew what time I had to be at work, but I never knew what time I was going to get out of work. Me and another guy worked 22, 24 hours straight putting in a drive one time. But I had this happen to me. And I'm not patting me on the back. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging about the Lord. I tried my best to be a witness. I wasn't around carrying my Bible, beating them in the head. I just tried to let them see that I was different. And friend, you ought to be different if you're saved. For you that know me around here, you'll hear somebody whistling, and 99% of the time it's going to be me. Because I like to whistle. I whistle songs, spiritual songs. And the Lord has used that. Somebody else is whistling. I don't know what that is. But I worked at Jet Corps, and again, I couldn't even tell the guy's name. He drove a forklift or a clamp truck. And one night I was out there working. I was working second shift, and I was working on a machine. He drove by, and he stopped, and he says, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I just got to know something." I was thinking, this could be bad. You know, I was gearing myself up. I didn't know where this was going. He said, "I just need to ask you something." I said, "Okay, what you need?" "How come you're always happy?" I didn't realize I was always happy, but apparently he thought I was. He says, "Every time I see you, you're whistling or singing or smiling." He says, "How come?" He says, "You're coming to this terrible place and you can act that way." I said, "It's not an act." And that one little conversation opened the door that I could tell him why I was happy. It wasn't because I had a job. It wasn't because I had good health. It wasn't because of this or that. I spent the next little bit telling him the reason I could smile and the reason I could go through these days when nobody else wanted to smile, when nobody else seemed to be happy. I could do that because Jesus loves me. This I know. Well, this Bible tells me so. See, you don't have to know all the scriptures. You don't know how to do the 1, 2, 3 turn left on the Romans road. Just let them see that you're excited about who your God is. I was doing some studying. Remember the Old Testament there when the ark got took away and they put it inside the room with Dagon or Dagon, however you say it. Remember that story? That's how a lot of us seem sometimes. God and Dagon, Dagon, how you say it, in the same room. No. My God and Dagon's not in the same room. I don't want the world. I'd rather just have the Lord. Oh, I have to live here. I have to go through all the things that you do. But I sure try to keep my eyes where they need to be. That's what compels people. It, just me whistling and smiling, and it compelled that man to ask me what was different about me. The Lord says, let's compel him to come in. And then you notice the reason that he tells us to do that? The next verse there down, that his house may be full. That's the will of God. That's his desire. That's the reason he wants us to go tell everybody. Highways and hedges and compel them. I close. We've had a cat show up at our house. It gets to stay as long as it don't get on my vehicle. So it's still in the staying business. But as soon as I see paw prints, it has to go. That's my rule at my house. But that cat's wild. We don't know where it came from, but it's wild. And my wife has, over the last month, 2 months, she's been slowly earning that cat's approval. How's she been doing it? She goes out there and screams at it. No. She takes the broom out and beats it. No. She goes out there and puts food in a bowl and starts talking to it. Here, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, kitty. And that cat over the last 2 months or so has went from as soon as it saw us is running and hiding to now it walks up to the door and wants her to pet it. She compelled it. That's what you and I need to do to the lost and dying world. It's what the Lord did to me. I was compelled to come in. Actively pursuing, actively pressing. Listen, friend, don't give up.
Amen.
There's people out there, maybe you've invited them. Maybe you've talked to them. Listen, don't give up. God didn't give up on me. God won't give up on them. Keep talking. Keep pressing. Keep showing them. That will compel them. My pastor's theory, when we started witnessing in Harmony, we did all kinds of things. But this is what he told me. He says, well, I want people, when they need God, as you know, everybody, there's some time in their life that they need God. He says, I want people to know when they need God, Friendship Baptist Church has God. And you wouldn't believe what God did for us over those years. Because when people needed God, they came by that way. Why? Because we compelled them to come. Tonight, we all know people that need to be saved. Are you compelling them? Here, kitty, kitty. It's what God told us to do. It's what we need to be doing. Let's stand together. Appreciate you being here this evening. So let's all say amen, go get a steak. No. Rick Bynes, sir. No. Let's all go find the lost and compel them to come in. Tonight there's people that are hungry. Tonight there's people that are hurting. Tonight somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. Brother George mentioned it the other Wednesday night, I think it was, something I said a long time ago when he first came. I made a statement, if not you, who? If you're not going to reach them, who is? If you're not going to compel them, who is? It's going to take a little bit of your time. It's going to take a little bit of your strength. But wouldn't it be worth it if they didn't go to hell? Wouldn't it be worth it if they bowed themselves before God and prayed and asked God to save them? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be worth everything? Sure it would. So we're on the altar tonight. If you need to slip around this altar, come on. Maybe you've got a little weary in the battle. Maybe you let this world steal, as I mentioned this morning, that joy. Old friend tonight, remember how good God is to you. Wouldn't you recommend God to anybody and everybody? Brother Russell, if you will, sing a verse or two. These folks are praying. What about you, friend, tonight? Remember when somebody compelled you?
I wonder, have I done my best?
for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree. To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me, the hours I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me.
Amen. Love that song. Amen. Kiss me. Okay. Remember that. Remember Jacob and Destiny there. Again, do remember all the prayer requests. Remember our services Wednesday night. I hope we'll be back. Not sure where we're heading yet Wednesday night, but we'll eventually get back into the armor of God there. But just wait on the Lord to lead there. But hope you'll be back with us. Listen, tonight, tomorrow, you're going to see people. You're going to be around people. Preacher, I could never do that. The Lord went to the cross for me. And I can't just stick a track in somebody's hands. That's all you got to do. And then you'll build up some courage over time. And then you'll start talking. I'll tell you something that... I miss it.
Rick said, and then they can't shut you.
Yeah, then they can't shut you. You know one of the best places to witness that? Elevator. They're trapped, buddy. You've got them for a few minutes anyway. It's not hard telling somebody what God's done for you, if God's done something for you. So I want to encourage you. Just smile. Love life. He gave us abundant life. Remember that this morning? Abundant life. Listen, I know where things are bad. But friend, this is the worst it's ever going to be. I'm going to heaven. It's going to get better for me. So, amen. Appreciate you being here this evening. Hope to see you back Wednesday night. Sure love to invite somebody to come with you. Okay, my brain back there. Anything else? No? Okay. Let's pray. We'll let you get here. Father, we love you. Thank you again for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship and the testimonies tonight. Sure encourage me. God, I just ask you, Lord, to help us as we leave this place. God, give safety. Lord, give us rest tonight. Lord, help us to get up tomorrow if you give us another day. God, and do exactly what we've seen tonight. Just help us to live our life in such a way that we can compel people to want what we've got. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much. God, we've got so much to tell, Lord. What a story. And God, we just ask you, Lord, to give us that witness, that life, that salt to this world, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.